Get your Bible down, turn to Matthew. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 11. You see, we're going to go through this. We're going to find out just what it is he has for us tonight. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And you're there, say amen. Alright. Let's read at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Praise your precious name, Jesus. We ask you, O Lord, that somehow you help us to see what it is you have here for tonight. Bless us, O God, and open up our hearts to understanding. O God, lift us up above the shadows and cause the chains that would bind us to fall away. But somehow, God, make us whole again. Jesus, put your word in our hearts that we can keep it forever. In your name we pray. Amen. And you can all be seated. Praise the Lord. It's hard for me to get used to walk around carrying the microphone. I like to use my hands. I almost can't talk without them. And I'm telling you what, it's tough. I have to learn a whole new language. It's called the English language. I don't know what that's about too much, but I'm going to tell you. I just read you something. Listen to this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to talk to you about a really good deal. A really good deal. Amen? I want a good deal. Amen. He said, come and be given. That's all you got to do. Come and be given. My God, that's a good deal. Thank you, Lord. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come and be given. Come. You know, y'all know who Bob Barker is? Oh, you shouldn't know. You know who Monty Hall is? Uh-oh. Now I see too many heads going this way. But we don't know who those folks are. We don't know about the Price is Right too much, and we don't know about Let's Make a Deal, do we? No, not much of it. But I'm going to tell you what. There was a time when Bob Barker would stand there and he'd say, come on down. I've got a deal for you. He'd call somebody's name and he'd say, come on down. And he'd ask him, you got a rubber band in your pocket? I'll give you $100 for it. Well, that's a deal. I got a whole pack of them. How much you give me for that? But you know, Bob Barker used to make deals with people on Let's Make a Deal. Oh, he can make a deal. He can make a really good deal. Yeah, you come in there and didn't cost you much. Just had to act stupid, look silly. And he'd make a deal with you. The dumber you looked, the more likely you were to be called down there. And you know, folks will do nearly anything to get noticed. And they'll act pretty strange at times, you know. You ever think about that? If you remember those days, those were some time ago, and I can say that my monitor had 99 channels, but I don't know. That was back in the 60s on part of that, so we didn't have monitors back then. I must have been watching something else. No, I'm serious. Bob Barker would make a deal over a bobby pin. Yeah. You did good up there, and you act silly and act strange. Now, you can make any kind of deal. Folks love to make deals. I know I like them. I like a good deal. I like a good deal. You make any kind of deal. Some of your deals are going to be good. Some of them are going to be bad. You know what I mean? I've been there, done that. Well, you listen to my wife. I ain't never made a good deal in my life. Except when I married her. Hey, man, that was a pretty good deal, too. She right about that, huh? Yeah. Yeah, she pretty much right about that. Jacob and Esau made a deal. That was a good deal for Jacob. Anytime you see somebody making a deal, and if it's a really good deal, that means it's only a good deal for one person. in that transaction. The other person not getting such a good deal. He's not getting a good deal at all. Esau didn't get a good deal in that situation. No, sir. I remember Pastor talking about that the other day. Just a few days ago, he started talking about, well, maybe, just maybe, maybe Jacob was out there where the wind was blowing, knowing Esau was coming by. So he started stirring up the pot. Yeah, and the wind blowing just that away made him really hungry. I'm going to tell you what, I've been hungry before. And I got to smell some pretty good food. And it wasn't going to be much to get between me and that food without getting tracks all over them, because I'm going to get some of that food. I'd have made almost any kind of deal sometimes if I'm hungry enough and it smells good enough. Well, I'm going to tell you, Esau didn't make a good deal. No, sir. Esau didn't make a good deal. And I've made some pretty bad deals. I've made some deals in my time that you'd laugh at. Some of them I cried at. Oh, yeah. You know, there's more truck stop salesmen than anybody you for anywhere else you'll find. There's salesmen at truck stops, and I'm talking about guys with long coats and watches. No, serious. I was in a truck stop one time, and a guy wanted to sell me a Rolex. I was young. Man, I bought me a $30 Rolex. It almost worked. It didn't keep time, but it would go around a little bit, and it had R-O-L-L-E-X. Well, I didn't know Rolex didn't have two L's in it. But I found out. It's probably worth about $5. I only paid $34, so it wasn't that bad a deal. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can make some good deals. And you can make some bad deals. I had a friend of mine went up to Dallas one time. He was hauling cars, and he stopped there at a little store, and there's a bunch of homeless people over here. Some guy come up to him with a brand new VCR in the box, all wrapped up in cellophane, looked pretty. It was heavy, just like a VCR ought to be. He said, man, I'll sell you this brand new VCR for $50. That's back when they used to cost a lot more. Well, he jumped all over that. I want that. It's still brand new. It's still wrapped up in the cellophane. The cellophane was on the box. Couldn't open the box and look. Boy, he's proud of that. I was with him, you see. We rode all the way back to Ennis, Texas from Dallas. Boy, we just couldn't wait to get that out of the box and look. All three of them bricks were in that box. That wasn't such a good deal, was it? I'm going to tell you, somebody got a good deal there. It wasn't Larry. That poor fella didn't get a good deal. No. Man, you can buy almost anything and have a bad deal. Or you can get a good deal. You know, you just say, all sorts of things can happen. Now, sometimes we think we're Jacob and we're getting a good deal. You know what I mean? Sometimes we think we're just getting a fine deal. I'll go out and buy me a car, think it's the best thing going. Well, it's like that El Camino I can't sell. I drove it for almost a year, paid a lot of money for it. It's been parked in my yard ever since. That was about 8 years ago. It's junk. It wasn't a good deal. You know, there's just things. You know, you think you're Jacob. You end up being Esau. Not getting such a good deal after all when you stop and look at things. You got to really examine. Examine what is the deal. When the Lord says he's going to make a deal with you, it's going to be a really good deal. Amen. It's going to be a really good deal. You know, you might, when you're making a deal with somebody, you might think you're Billy Bright Boy, but you won't be. You end up being Sam Sausage Head. I know that's me most of the time. I can't seem to get there. But I'm going to tell you right now, I tried to make a good deal when I came to the Lord. Oh, you know, I'm just going to make deals with the Lord. You can't make deals with the Lord. Did you know that, Pastor? No. He said, come and be given. What's so hard about that deal? Come and be given. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how Daniel felt in the den of lions. But it wasn't a good deal for the lions. They were hungry. They didn't get to eat that night. But I can tell you right now how the lion feels in the den of Daniels. That's me. You say, what? Y'all look around you. Pastor Grissom, Brother Hart, Brother Martin, Brother Ferguson. I'm going to tell you what, I feel like a lion in a den full of Daniels, and sometimes it did get you. You know what? But I've got a good deal because I've got the help. I've got the help of every spiritual man in here tonight. I've got a good deal. I've got the prayers of the saints, just like all of us do. We pray for one another. Good deal. And you know, sometimes you make a deal in desperation. You ever do that? Oh, man, that's not always a good thing either. Mm-mm. You want to know what it's like to be desperate? Forget your wife's birthday. Forget your anniversary. You'll find all about desperation. Huh? Oh. You come home at 8 in the evening, the day's almost over. Honey, you know what day this is? Yes, Tuesday. No, do you know what day this is? Oh, yeah, I know what day it is. Again, you think fast. I know what day it is. I said, yeah, I'm ready for it. I just wasn't going to let you know I was ready for it. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I got to go feed the dogs. I'll be right back. You run outside with your cell phone, and you be calling. Hello? Hello? Sis, what day is this? Well, it's Tuesday, Dad. No, I mean, what day is it? It's January 3rd. I mean, what day is it? Your mother's acting strange. I don't know, Dad. Oh, by the way, happy anniversary. Oh, my. Gonna make a deal in desperation real quick. Oh, you ever get all done, you run in the house. Oh, baby, you about ready to go? Act like you had plans all day long. You ready to go? Where are we going? We'll go someplace expensive. Oh, yeah. Whew. Get you out of that one. It didn't. No matter what kind of deal you made, she knows. It don't get you out of it. Besides, where are you going to go expensive? The gas station? About the most expensive place I found around here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every time, in all seriousness, every time I went to jail, I wanted to make a deal with God. Oh, yeah, Brother Fry's been there a few times. No, Brother Fry's been there a lot of times. But I always wanted to make a deal with God. It's, oh, God, get me out of this, and I won't do this anymore. Get me out of here, oh, Lord, and I won't ever come back. Oh. And the next time I was there, I said, oh, Lord, get me out of here, and I won't be back again. I'll come out of here, and I'll serve you, Lord. Oh, we'd have services in the jailhouse. You know how many Christians are in jail? All but two of everybody there is a Christian, but two. And they're the cooks. That's true. Everybody in jail is Christian. At least till they get out. I know. I made a deal with God every time I got there. It didn't work out so good, but I was still making deals. Oh, Lord. Hear me, oh God. Get me out of, you know what? Lord didn't get me in that mess, did he? Lord didn't get me in that mess. I got myself in it. Why would he want to get me out? But Satan likes making deals. He'll make a deal. You know, if God's going to make a deal with you, he said, come, be given. Satan's going to offer you a deal. You know, Satan offered Jesus a deal. Oh, yeah, I did. He was right there offering him all sorts of things. But Jesus had an answer. He was spiritual. He had an answer for every offer, didn't he? Oh, he couldn't be tempted. He couldn't be tempted into any of them deals. You know, sometimes if we get a little weak, we might get tempted into a deal with him. Not even knowing. I don't want to make a deal with him. No, sir. Uh-uh. I don't want to make a deal with Satan anymore. You know, he'll tell you the things feel good. He'll tell you that everything's going to be all right. He'll tell you that if you just do this, man, you're going to love it. And everything's going to be okay. But he doesn't tell you about the gutter. He doesn't tell you about the times. You're sitting there with all the strange people doing all the strange things. You know, I was talking to my younger brother earlier today. And I couldn't remember something. It's something very simple. And we discussed it a little bit. Finally, he was able to tell me the name of my niece. Now, I've known this girl for 30-some-odd years. And I could not think of her name. You know what my brother told me? He said, boy, that's the way you lived in the 70s. That's what's wrong with you today. Last night, we were out eating. And I had to ask my wife, you know, what's that white stuff you put on the sandwich? When I was trying to order my food. Because I wanted that white stuff on my sandwich at the restaurant. I couldn't remember. Why? Because I made one deal too many with Satan? Maybe. Man, back in the 70s, it just wasn't right, was it? Uh-uh. But I'm going to tell you something. And I was sitting there just a couple weeks ago with some friends, and the lady walked in. She said, it looks like you're finally at peace. And she's known me almost 30 years. And for the first time since she's known me, she said, you're finally at peace. She could see the peace. Oh, God. Now, that's a deal, friend. I made a deal with God. He said, come and be given. Yeah, I made a deal. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. There's no reason for us not to make that deal with the Lord. None whatsoever. Now, I want you to know that Satan will try to trip you up. You come to the Lord, and you'll be given everything he wants to give you. Everything. Satan will try to trip you up. He'll catch you when you're kind of low, maybe don't have enough prayer that week in your life. And he'll find some way to make you angry about something, or make you dwell on what this person did to you, or that person did to you, or some other person did to you. I'm going to tell you, he's going to try. He'll use anything. He'll use your wife, he'll use your mother, use your brother. He'll use anything to get at you, to try to make a deal with you. And he'll do it subtly. He'll be very subtle about it. Well, I'm going to tell you about some people that were offered a deal. And it sounded like a good deal, but it wasn't a really good deal. I'm going to tell you about some people that a king offered them a deal. You know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't you? You know about them? You've heard about them? Oh, yeah. There was a time that they were all together, gathered together. Nebuchadnezzar had built an image. He wanted certain princes, to be there throughout the kingdom. And when they were all there, and he said, hey, at the sound of the music, I want all y'all to bend down and worship the image. Everybody. Man, they had the music. They got it ready. They played it. When you looked around, there was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Standing straight up. They didn't bow down. I don't doubt for a minute there were many, many other princes there, some of the Hebrews. And some of them thought, well, I can bow down and fool them. I don't have to worship. I'll just call on the name of the true and living God. But these three stood straight up, and they knew the cost. They knew what it was going to be. So they had told him, if you don't worship, if you don't bow and worship, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And when Nebuchadnezzar came to him, he liked these three. They were special to him. They were somebody that he cared about. So he wanted to give them another chance. He said, hey, let's make a deal here. We're going to do it one more time. We'll do it again just for you. And when you hear it, go ahead and bow down. So, We don't have to throw you in the furnace. I want to keep you fellas around. You're pretty good guys, you know. I'll make a deal with you. I wouldn't make a deal with anybody else, just you. And you know what they said? We're not careful. We're not careful to answer you in this manner. In other words, they didn't even have to think about it. Oh, no, we don't care what kind of deal you got to offer Nebuchadnezzar. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, that's all right. We don't care. We're not making that deal. That's not a deal we want to get into. No, sir, we're not trading our souls for that. We are not going to bow down to that. They didn't. They were thrown in the furnace. Man, Nebuchadnezzar looked down and said, didn't we throw three of them in there? I see three, and then one more. I see four walking around, unbound, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Woo! They didn't make that deal. They didn't make that deal. They hung on to what they had. Now, there's no reason to make a deal like this. Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always. Amen. Now, that's a really good deal. Amen. That's a really good deal. Amen. And in verse 29, it said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It said, take and learn. And it doesn't all get as long as the last part did, but this is kind of short. We're getting close to the end. It said, take and learn. And John 14:6 said, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. You want to learn of Jesus? What is he like? The cares of this world can cause doubts. Now you've taken and you've learned who Jesus is. And sometimes the cares of this world can just kind of turn you aside a little bit. You kind of forget who you are, who he is. You kind of forget where you're supposed to be. You know, even John Baptist forgot. He baptized him. He was his own cousin. John from the prison sent his disciples to Jesus and said, hey, go ask him, is he the one that is to come? John baptized him and saw the Holy Ghost descending on him like a dove. Heard the voice of God come through the cloud say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And then the cares of this world got so heavy on him. I don't know how long he was in that prison before he sent them to ask him, but I'm going to tell you something. It was kind of hard there in that prison. John didn't have no TV. Huh? No, sir. He didn't have no microwave. He didn't have no cell phones. He didn't have a whole lot of stuff. I'm going to tell you, I was at a friend's house here just a while back, and his brother called him. And his brother said to him, he said, Trey, you know what I'm talking to you on? He said, no, what? It's a little bitty object. They call it a cell phone. Now, friends, you may think it's strange, but this fella had been in prison 13 and a half years. He had no idea what a cell phone was. He had no idea. He had got a hold of a cell phone down there in prison in Port Arthur, Texas, and he called his brother. I was sitting in his brother's house when he called him. He was amazed. He went to him, have you ever seen anything like this? And his brother started laughing at him. Yeah. I've seen a cell phone. John didn't have a cell phone. He couldn't call Jesus up and say, hey, I want to talk to you. I need some encouragement. No, he didn't have that. So he began to doubt. And sometimes we'll do that. Sometimes we'll doubt. And we don't want to let that get us down. No. We want to know who Jesus is. John wanted to know, are you really he that is coming? Now, I'm going to tell you right now who Jesus is. He's the one who came to heal the sick and the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He's the Messiah that came to be a servant. He came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. And he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. Now that's a really good deal. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's who he is. That's a really good deal. And then it said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that sounds like a pretty good deal too, doesn't it? That's a really good deal. If your yoke is easy, if I'm going to take your yoke upon me, I want it to be easy. And his burden is light. And then John 13:34 said, a new commandment. Now wait a minute. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. A commandment sounds like more work. I don't know, how easy can that be? A new commandment. A new commandment I give to you. Now we already have plenty of work. Yeah, think about it. We had 10 commandments already. You got to love your neighbor. That's not always easy. It's not. Not if you know my neighbor. Y'all see what it did to me that time. Come on now, I'm serious. You got to love your neighbor. You know how hard it is for me to love my neighbor sometimes? Oh, I got to repent almost daily. I drive by his house and I see my property in his backyard. He has robbed me so many times. And there have been so many police reports filed. And you know, I still have to love my neighbor. I can see my property in his backyard. I'll tell you what, that'll keep you spiritual. Oh, yeah. I can love my neighbor. So that one's not too hard. You got to keep the Sabbath. Man, I tell you what, it's real tough to keep the Sabbath when it's about 80 degrees out there. Got a calm wind, about 5 to 10 miles an hour, and you're living right on the lake. You got a boat. It's hard to keep the Sabbath. Man, it makes you want to go fishing, doesn't it? Ooh, Lord, you got to watch out. Said, don't covet. My wife put a magnet on our refrigerator and said, it was all about me. I saw it. I wanted it. Threw a fit and got it. Now that's hard not to covet. Man, I said, I'm wanting it. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. And I won't even go into the other seven. So we already got plenty of work. He said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Well, there's just three of the last 10, and I'm already struggling. Ooh, what am I going to do with a brand new one? Let's see what he said. He said, a new commandment I'll give to you. That you love one another. Oh, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound so hard, does it? That you love one another. Man, it's easy for me to love Brother Martin. Well, he treats me so good. Brother James treats me just fine. Brother Ferguson, I don't have any problem loving you. That's easy. Oh, so maybe that's not so bad. Yeah, maybe his yoke is easy. Maybe his burden is light. That you have love for one another. Now, that doesn't sound hard at all. It's easy to love our brothers. Shall I read the rest of that? That you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, my. Woo! You're going to love me in my faults? You don't even know the half of them. Ooh. Jesus loved them. Amen. Before he knew them, or before he saved them, before we got saved. He loved us before we were saved. He said, love one another as I have loved you. He loved me in my sin. If you'd have seen me in my sin, you'd have wanted to shoot me. I didn't know way you could have loved me. The only one that did was my wife, and I don't know why she did. Oof, pity that woman. He said, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's tough. Brother Martin, I can love you all day long, and I don't have a bit of problem. I don't know if I can love you like Jesus did. I have to find a way to do that. I have to find a way. I've got to find a way to love you the way that Jesus did. You got to find a way to love me like he loved us. It doesn't really sound all that hard till he says that. That's hard. With all your faults and everything, but we're going to do it. Do you know, I may not be as perfect as some of you think I am. You know, I know you think I'm pretty good. I've been through some things and I've been saved. You know, God has delivered me from a lot. And I know that everybody here has no problems and they're all going forward, right? Come on, you're going forward in Christ Jesus. You are going to conquer. Pastor preached the other night about treasures in the field. You can't lose. The treasure is in the field. You've all got it made. You don't have that many faults, do you? But I want you to know there's a tree in my backyard, Pastor. A tree in my backyard that has dead leaves on it. It has dead leaves clinging to it. I'm talking about they're on there pretty good. I can go out there, I can shake that tree and get a few of them off. They don't all fall. The wind has come through there pretty hard in recent months, recent weeks. They're not all off of there yet. And you know, there's some brand new buds on that tree. And I've still got dead leaves on it. Now those leaves died in November. They died in October. And they haven't all fallen off. Not everything has fallen off just yet in our lives sometimes. But we're going to love you anyway. You're going to have to love me anyway. Not everything has fallen away yet. But love me anyway. Now that makes it a little hard. I don't know about all that. I'm going to take you another place here. Matthew 28 and in verse 20, Jesus mentioned to the disciples, he said, observe all things ever I taught you. And that's not easy. He said, go on, teach the nations. In verse 19, he said, go on, teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and musicians if they would to come. Please, musicians, please come. And in Matthew 28, 19-20, it isn't nearly as hard as we might think it is. He said, just observe all things that I taught you. He said, well, I want to know, what is it he taught me? What is it? If you look back in 6 and 33 of the book of Matthew, when Jesus was talking to the multitudes and he was telling, hey, don't take any thought for what you might wear tomorrow. He said, if they take you before the magistrates, don't even worry about what you're going to say. He said, I'm going to tell you, don't worry about what clothes you're going to wear or what food you're going to eat. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. That's going to make it easy. That's what's going to make that easy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things be added unto you. Now that, my friend, is a really good deal. It's made easy if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We don't have to try so hard to love our neighbor then. We find it so easy. I don't have to try so hard to love you in your faults and otherwise. It's so easy because I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Huh? It's not so hard then. It's easy. So today, today, If you find it hard to love me, get your mind stayed upon Jesus and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And that is a really good deal. Would you all stand, please? Everybody stand. He's got a deal for us that can't be beaten. Nobody can give us a better deal than that. Nobody. All the things that we thought were so hard, we are finding so easy. It's not hard for me to love my neighbor anymore. I cry for my neighbor. I don't care about that property that's in his backyard anymore. I don't even care about it. It wasn't mine to begin with. It took me a while to realize that it belonged to the Lord. The Lord gave it to me. Some say, well, maybe you didn't take very good care of it. Well, I gave it back to the Lord. If the Lord wanted him to have it, well, he got it. He got exactly what the Lord wanted him to have. But you know what? I'd have never thought about praying for him if he hadn't robbed me. You know that? Now I can pray for my neighbor, and I cry over my neighbor. I spend tears over my neighbor and his family. Because I seek first the kingdom of God. It's made so easy. If you got a problem you need to overcome, don't dwell on the problem. Don't dwell on it at all. Don't think about it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That'll be lifted from you. If you say, Lord, remove this from me, and you dwell on it day after day after day, why isn't it gone? Oh, Lord, why don't you take it from me? Well, don't worry about it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let Him do it. It's so easy. Pastor.